In addition to 2019 draft picks Nikita Alexandrov, Colton Ellis, Keen Washkarak, and Jeremy McKell will participate. And that's all for your updates. From the 590 The Fan KFNS studios in Kirkwood, I am Abby Schnabel.
News, weather, and sports in this 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Surf and Sirloin Restaurant, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Mother's Day is gone, Father's Day is gone, but that's no reason why you still can't enjoy a Sunday afternoon white tablecloth lunch or dinner at Surf and Sirloin, serving only USDA prime beef. That's the top 2% of any beef sold in the country. You don't find it in your supermarkets because all the finest upscale restaurants gobble it up before the supermarkets have a chance to even buy it when it goes on sale. USDA prime beef. Serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week. Surf and Sirloin, three ways to make reservations. Check them out online, surfandsirloin.com. You can download a free app, Open Table, or call 822-3637, 822-3637.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Club Fitness is lifting local by extending our June offer. Celebrate the opening of our 24th location in Maplewood and join any Club Fitness for just 24 cents until June 30th.
With 24 locations, there's gyms where I live and where I work, making community-driven fitness accessible to every body in St. Louis.
24 locations, 24 cents. So come on,
lift local with us.
Club Fitness, the right fit for every body. Join in June for just 24 cents. See club for details.
It's not summer till the tea leaves are aged, the lemons are peeled, and the Bud Light is brewed with both of those things. New for summer, it's Bud Light Lemon Tea. Brewed on real lemon peels, aged on real tea leaves, and best served in a round like ice pitcher. You like ice pitchers? Yeah, you do. I can tell. It's in the eyes.
Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You can save thousands in interest. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you have complete peace of mind. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/McKernan. That's LightStream.com/McKernan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/McKernan for more information.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
We're going to do the show in German today.
Life can be so
sweet. Speaking German in this 3 o'clock hour.
On the sunny side of the street.
See you later, everybody. I used to
walk in shape.
That's all I know. It's funny, you think I'm kidding.
At nine.
Scheiße.
Not afraid.
Sauerkraut.
This rover.
If there is any takeaway from today, it's this. Anyone can be a racist. Anyone.
Crossroads.
That's from Superstore.
It is from Superstore.
I love that show. I love that show. Have you ever watched that, Superstore?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
It's based in St. Louis.
It is. It's based at like a Walmart in St. Louis.
Yeah. Hilarious. And it's called Cloud Nine.
Superstore.
Oh, it's hilarious.
What's that on, like... Was that go head to head with the yard sales?
Oh, today? Channel 5. Oh.
Yeah,
it's on Channel 5 on Thursday.
NBC, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Gobbledygook, otherwise known as the Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank Opinion, minus Frank Opinion. He is in Amsterdam right now with his wife and at least 70 of our listeners, amongst about 150 total people that will be taking a cruise down the Rhine River for the next week and a half. And Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips will be manning the show for the next. Let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next Thursday, July 4th. So 5 days, Limey, outstanding.
Yeah, thank you.
So Scott Sherman is in the house. We'll get to him in a second. Dan Strauss is in the house. We'll get to him in a second. Trevor, say hello to the folks and give them a preview of what they're going to hear starting tomorrow.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. I hope you've had a good day. In true fashion of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to be doing for the next 5 days.
Just like every day.
I have no idea. I'm just going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to flip through Facebook, see if there's anything interesting, and... Yeah, that's pretty much my game plan for the show.
Now, do you speak any other languages besides English?
No, I took Spanish in high school, and I used to be pretty good at it, but, I mean, I've been out of high school longer than 10 years.
Hola, so señor.
Most of that, yeah, there's that. I believe that means, do you know where the library is? And
El baño. So.
Well, in the 5 o'clock hour, I have written out a German phrase for everybody on the show, and Scott, you'll have to listen for yours. We're going to do
this. I have a pretty good idea.
I'm going to wait for Bill to get here, because, of course, Bills are the worst. And so I have a phrase that if I was standing next to all of you in Germany, this is what I would say while standing next to you, because you'd have no idea what I'm saying. And then I would say that phrase, and that's going to come up in the 5 o'clock hour.
I cannot wait.
Unless we run out of things to say, and then I'll start it in the 3 o'clock hour. So
Does mine have anything with moron in it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
I have a feeling mine involves German shepherds.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay,
it doesn't.
Good.
It doesn't. Actually,
German
it doesn't.
German shepherds?
Nope. Well, I'll give you a hint. Limey's involves a library.
Oh, very good.
Yours involves a police officer.
Very good.
Dan's involves a waiter.
Oh.
Frank's involves a waitress, and of course I had to write two for Bill because he's my favorite. One involves a pedestrian on the street, and one involves a young lady. I wrote one for myself as well, which also is directed at a young lady, although it's not quite as bad as Bill's, of course.
So
we'll be having our German phrases to know and love when we go to Germany tomorrow. Having said that, Trevor Limey Phillips. I said that backwards. I said Trimer Levy.
Yeah, Trimer Levy.
It's okay.
Trimer
it's
Levy.
Okay.
I kind of like that better.
I kind of like that.
Trimer Levy Phillips.
Trimer Levy is getting the same German phrase that I'm getting.
I invited Scott Sherman to come in here today because this guy cracks me up, and every time he comes in here, it's just law, 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 law. Answer, answer, answer. Law, law, law. My tree's falling. My neighbor's upsetting me. My car's wrecked. These cops are harassing me. I hate my ex-wife. And you talk to Scott off the air, and he talks about everything but being a lawyer. So this show's all about personality. It's all about doing fun things. So I, Tim Woodward, invited Scott Sherman onto the show today to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Say hi to everybody, Scott.
Hello, everybody.
And Dan Strauss with his glasses on. Do those actually help?
To read, yes.
They do.
Yes.
So you
I'm
go,
reading.
You
These
go,
are reading glasses.
You go from not able to read to like not really be able to read?
Yes, exactly. The font still has to be big.
So I had LASIK surgery, but I had to go back to glasses, and I actually had to go to Deerbrigs and buy those 2.5s. What level are yours?
Mine are 300 to 350.
Oh, wow.
It's like a magnifying glass.
That's like 100. That's like Deerbrigs where I got mine. They don't even. I think mine's the second highest they sell, and I think they go to 3.
They only go to 3. You have to order 350s on Amazon. These are actually prescription.
Wow.
Reading glasses.
That's spectacular. Man. Spectacular. Yeah. So
that's what you get when you win the family genetic lottery.
Right.
Woohoo!
I asked.
His mom's maiden name was Magoo.
Yeah.
Or Wonder.
But they do not host any morning shows.
Well, he says he's black from the waist down. Maybe her name was Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what he says.
That's what he says.
Kind of brings me to his German. It kind of brings me to his German phrase I'm going to have for him in the 5 o'clock hour. And he's going to be over there, so he could actually practice this phrase. I spent a lot of time working on these phrases. I just want you to know that. So, welcome in if you'd like to join the conversation. Our phone number is 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. I explained this yesterday slowly. I'll do it quicker today. Frank had a history teacher named Mr. Burke. He does the Burke segment. He allowed his students to say whatever they wanted to say for the first 15 minutes of class. And then he guillotined it off, and they had to talk about history. We don't guillotine it off here. We don't talk about any history on this show. We just go 3 hours straight of this nonsense. That having been said, and I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I don't want anybody to say their name. I just want everybody to say yes if the answer is yes. Does anybody have anything to say?
Dan? I mean, yes.
Over in the snake pit room with his 350 prescription eyeglasses is Dan Strauss, who's been on the air with Frank for 32 happy years, 36 total. Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Tim.
You're welcome.
My girlfriend Sandy and I were talking.
Really?
Today. Yes.
That ended the dry spell?
Yeah.
How long had it been since you talked?
At least 15 minutes.
Wow. Maybe. A long time.
But
a long time for any woman to keep her mouth quiet.
She came up with a good idea though.
Oh yeah. Well, now it has to be a good idea.
If we were dogs, kind of dog would we be?
I mean, we being who? You and her?
No,
us.
All of us in the studio here.
All of us. So who gets a dogism?
Well, Frank.
Okay.
So we'll say Frank.
Yeah. Give us an example. Can we guess? Frank.
This would be an example of what she said. Frank could be a chihuahua.
Oh, no, we should have guessed. Oh, well, that's okay.
Oh, you can guess.
So why okay.
Chihuahua?
Why would
Chihuahua? Because he barks the most.
Yep.
Really?
Smart. Thinks he's a big dog.
Easily agitated.
Will, snip at you to put you in your place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that is a chihuahua.
So the characteristics, I want to repeat this to him, of course, when we get over there,
sure.
So he can let it, like, know. Sandy says he's a chihuahua because he snips at everyone. He barks.
Yeah.
Smart. Thinks he's a big dog.
And will snip at you to put you in your place.
Thinks he's big and will snip to put in place. Mm-hmm. In place. All right. So okay. Frank is a chihuahua. All right.
Do you have one for Bill?
Who's next?
We do have one for Bill. Okay, I'm next on this list.
Can we guess?
Yeah, let's guess Dan.
Everybody gets one guess. All right. And then we'll see. So,
everybody gets one guess.
All right, I kind of see Bill as maybe like...
No, he said Bill. No, Dan said he's next.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm next on
you gotta
on
guess,
list.
You got to guess what dog Dan is.
Dan? Probably like Golden Retriever or like a Black Lab or something.
Oh, yeah, very close.
One of those very friendly dogs.
You're very close.
You know?
I'm going to say that you are a blind collie.
Timmy's in the well.
I say bloodhound.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay. According to Sandy, I'm a labradoodle.
Why?
That's pretty close.
I'm loyal, playful, goofy.
Slower. I'm going to write these down. Loyal.
Loyal, playful, goofy. Loves people and animals, but would love to help you eliminate the bird population.
Remove birds.
Yes, remove birds.
All right, who's next?
Loyal, playful, Dan is a labradoodle because he's loyal, playful, he's goofy, he loves people, mm-hmm. and he wants to rid the planet of the bird population.
Yes.
All right, so Frank's a chihuahua, and Dan is a labradoodle. Who's next?
Next is Trevor.
Trevor.
Oh,
blimey.
Can't guess. Well, does he get to guess himself?
Yeah, he can guess himself.
All right. Are we going to go, are we going generic on this? Like, am I going to British bulldog?
No hints.
Not really.
That's my guess. I'll just go with the British bulldog.
He thinks he's a British bulldog.
All right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Better not be a poodle.
Scott, what do you think?
A
poodle. A poodle that licks himself. You know why dogs lick themselves?
Cocker spaniel.
Because they can't make a fist. I'll say...
Because he got a girl pregnant.
I'll say...
Sorry.
You called him a what?
I just came right out and did it. I said cocker spaniel.
You know, he's...
Cocker spaniel.
No, but look...
I just hit him.
He's part St. Louis... He's part South St. Louis County. He's part Lime. He's part Kirkwood. He's part British. And you know what you call a dog when there's all kinds of different genetics in there. It's just a plain old good-fashioned USDA prime mutt.
That's a good one.
I'll take that.
He's a mutt.
I'll take that.
According to Sandy... Trevor is a Jack Russell Terrier.
Ooh. Ah, that's good.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
He's smart, playful, energetic, and teachable.
And wiry.
and wiry.
Teachable.
Yeah.
Smart, you know what?
Teachable, energetic, and what?
Teachable.
I got that. Smart, teachable, energetic, and what?
Playful.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow,
smart, man. Playful, energetic, and teachable.
And why? All right. He doesn't listen to me. So no, playful was the one I was missing.
Oh, playful.
All right. So Trevor is a Jack Russell.
I like that.
And, you know, and you got to throw a little bit of annoying in there because Jack Russells are annoying. I mean, you know, I mean, and if we're going to be honest about okay. this, you know, and Trevor, you know, Trevor can go down that road every once in a while.
I can be annoying.
So Trevor's a little, you know, I mean, it's like 5%.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe 9%. Maybe 9%. No. Okay, maybe 14%. 20%.
Even 20%. Let's just even we'll it just out call 20%
it, we'll just round
annoying.
It out to an even 20%. 20% annoying. Okay. Sure. So Trevor's a Jack Russell. Dan's a Labradoodle. Frank's a Chihuahua. Who's next?
Tim.
Oh boy.
Okay. Tim is next.
Now, all right. Yeah. I'm gonna go either Rottweiler, Bull Mastiff.
Bull Mastiff.
Yeah, Bull Mastiff. Yeah. You know. I mean.
Okay.
Right. I can see that. What else though? What else?
You just pick one. Can't pick three.
Hey,
pick
man,
one.
I have a thought process. All right. Mm-hmm. We gotta go. I've gotta
Show's
find
over
the dog
six.
That you are. I'll go with Rottweiler. I'll stick with that one. A Rottweiler.
Scott.
What's that dog that wears the thing around its neck and saves people and
oh, St. Bernard.
Oh, St. Bernard. St.
Bernard. St. Bernard.
The Beethoven.
Why
dog.
Would you say that about
because it? Doesn't it have whiskey are, in its barrel?
You help. You are there to help. You are always on call. You're loyal and you're fearless.
All right.
And
St.
Big.
Bernard.
And gigantic.
And big.
And
like,
big.
Like said,
no, but I think
big.
I think he's there for the rescue. And nothing stands in his way.
Whoa, man.
Well, I guess if I'd have to self-analyze myself, both from a physical appearance standpoint and from a talent standpoint and a look standpoint and the overall personality standpoint, I'd say Greyhound.
Where's that bell from the morning?
That's very close.
Right.
All right.
Very
close. What am I, Dan?
A German Shepherd.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Investigative, smart, and strong. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Very complimentary. And
very investigative, because German Shepherds do investigate.
They do.
So Bill Cleveland is next.
Oh, okay.
He's next. And he's not I'm here, saying, but he's next.
Oh, I'm saying a poodle. Like, he just looks to me a mini poodle. Bill Cleveland is a poodle.
Oh,
he's got the nose of a poodle.
Oh, man.
He's got the same kind of frame, a poodle.
What do you think, Scott?
A Chinese crested, a hairless chihuahua.
Hairless chihuahua.
Hairless chihuahua. Dan, you got one for Bill? Or do you?
Well,
do,
I know
you,
what it
oh,
is.
You know the answer.
Yeah.
Up to me. What do they call it? Like when Paris Hilton carries that little brown furry thing?
A teacup chihuahua.
A little teacup chihuahua. That
yeah, or a Yorkie.
Yeah. Goodness.
Its feet never hit the ground, yes. And it's kind of furry.
It's
kind of always
peeking. Yorkie.
It's kind of peeking up over her arm fat, you know, and kind of looking around. And, you know, he likes to have little treats fed into his
He's
mouth.
He's a Pekingese and a Yorkie. Yorkie.
A Yorkie?
A combination of all toy animals.
What is
Yorkie.
In
he's
a
Pekingese and a Shih Tzu. It's a piece of Shih Tzu. No, I'm just teasing.
No,
that's a dog name.
Yeah.
Okay, I give up. Dan, what is it?
A beagle.
Oh, nah.
Beagle, adventurous.
A beagle.
He's adventurous and kind.
Yeah, but beagles are also kind of loud and annoying sometimes.
Yeah, they are. They bark a lot.
Oh,
they do.
They bark all the time, and they mate a lot too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beagles will mate with anything.
Yeah.
Not Bill.
Oh.
Well, that's why.
Okay, so right. So we all have an issue with Bill being the beagle. Let's figure this out.
Okay, so we can switch Bill up.
I'm sticking with a poodle.
Poodle?
Like, that's just that to me, that is Bill in dog form.
Oh, man.
Chinese crested. I'm staying with that. Look it up.
We're not going to be able to do it.
You know, since I didn't get this, I'll go ahead with Bill as a St. Bernard.
Okay. I think. St. Bernard. How about either a Maltese or a Yorkie? What do you think?
That a Maltese or a Yorkie, sense. Like a little Yorkie.
Or a Morkie. Area. We have a Morkie. Sandy and I have a Morkie. It's a Maltese and Yorkie
well,
combined.
You, a Maltese, they have the most annoying bark in the history of barks.
Oh,
I mean,
they
when,
do.
When they go berserk. It's just nothing. It's fingernails across the chalkboard.
He will bark and snort. Like if there's a dog out, there's a dog named Blue that mm-hmm. comes out. He's a black lab.
Mm-hmm.
And he will come out and our dog will be sitting at the window, and all of a sudden it's like... He snorts
what's,
when he...
What kind of dog was that in the movie Road Trip when they blew marijuana in his face and he said, "Hey, Grandpa, make some pancakes." Oh.
Because
that's the kind of dog that John Hadley would be.
Was that a mug or was that an old sheepdog?
Old sheepdog, John Hadley.
Was it? Yeah,
John Hadley would be an old sheepdog. I'm bringing these to Germany so I can tell Frank what kind of dog he is.
There you go.
All right.
Scott Sherman.
All right.
He's next.
Oh, Scott's next.
Okay,
Scott's next.
After three burritos, he's Shih Tzu.
He's smart. Shih Tzu's not that smart, though.
No.
Maybe a pug?
Yeah. A pug.
I'm gonna say bloodhound.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. I'll go with that one as well. Then.
He's a Scotty.
Why?
A Scotty dog.
Because his name's Scott.
Yeah. No. Not necessarily because they're historical. They're smart, and they're intuitive.
I like that.
Yeah.
That is good. You know, probably that's a complimentary description.
Very nice of Sandy. Hard. Or a Chinese crested. I'd take that,
I'm
too.
Google it.
I mean, I'm not just here to throw. I catch, too.
Oh, yeah. What?
So, to recap.
Careful where you say that.
To recap, Frank is a Chihuahua. Dan is a Labradoodle. Trevor is a Jack Russell. I'm a German Shepherd. Bill's a Beagle. John Hadley's a sheepdog. And Scott is a Scotty dog.
Hadley's a sheepdog.
Have you ever seen one of these Chinese crested dogs?
No. Yeah, that's why I said it.
It is weird. Okay, so basically, it's a skinless dog, apart from it has hair around its ankles and feet.
Oh, I've seen those before.
And then its neck, and then its ears. It's got really, really long hair. That's a weird-looking dog.
I've seen those dogs.
So before we get into war stories, I want to tease what's going to come up in the 5 o'clock hour. By the way, Dan Buff is going to be here in the 4 o'clock hour to talk movies and TV.
Woo-hoo!
So since Scott won't be here in the 5 o'clock hour, here is...
You can be if you want.
Or you're being kicked out, buddy.
No, you're welcome to. I didn't know if you were going to. I didn't know what kind of time you
Nobody had. Likes a Scotty dog.
No. I invited him because you're a lawyer. You know, I figure you got, clients to overbill and invoices to fake and all that good stuff, So stick around as long as you like. Seriously, love to have you. But if you don't.
No.
If you don't, I want to tease what I'm going to do in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm going to use you as my guinea pig.
Okay.
So Scott Sherman's not going with us to Germany.
No.
And, however, I know.
And there's always a however in life.
Thank you. And so here is the phrase that I would have said if I were standing next to Scott Sherman and we came across a police officer who's just, kind of minding his own business. Scott and I are just kind of touring around, walking the castles and walking the churches, stepping into a pub or three. And, we happen to come across a police officer. I would stop. And this is the phrase that I would say to the police officer, and Scott Sherman would have no idea what I'm saying. And the phrase is this:
Officier, ich bin in einem Mietwagen. Wo hangen all die Krankenwagen, die ich jagen kann?
Okay, I got Mietwagen in there.
And translated, that means, officer, I'm in a rental car. Where do all the ambulances hang out that I can chase?
Was that Mietwagen? Is that what the ambulance is? A Mietwagen?
Krankenwagen.
Krankenwagen.
An ambulance in Germany is a Krankenwagen.
Oh.
A rental car is a Mietwagen.
A Mietwagen?
Yeah, a Mietwagen.
A Mietwagen.
It's a rental car, and an ambulance is a Krankenwagen. So I've got one for Trevor, and I've got one for two for Bill, and one for Frank, one for Dan, and one for myself. I'm gonna have those in the 5 o'clock hour.
Tim, I was very relieved by that phrase. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mietwagen and Krankenwagen.
It's fine.
All right, so Dan, I assume that half-hour Burke segment of yours is over?
Yes, I'm finished.
You sound like a guy named Tim Woodburn. His go long.
Oh, they do.
God,
so long.
God, he's annoying. Burke segment, Limey?
Sadly, I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. It's been an uneventful day. I've been doing college work.
Unlike Frank, I don't let you get away with nothing.
I know.
If you have nothing, I have a question.
Sure. I'll answer
any questions. If you don't have anything, I have questions that, have been kind of lingering and hanging over my head. What is the due date for baby Limey?
The end of October.
Now, has a name been selected?
No, not yet.
Has a sex been determined?
Not yet.
has communication been reestablished with the baby mama?
Not yet.
How long has this abyss been afloat now?
She's been going on
So she's 6 months pregnant?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
She's 6 months pregnant?
She's been going on about 2.5 months
and
now.
And you had a little fun. Now, I thought you told me you guys had a little text back and forth. Maybe there was a little communication.
We've had some interactions, but it has not gone well. So just kind of giving her space right now. Yeah. You know?
It'd probably be good to end the conversation then, right now. Because it may not help communications in the future.
This is true, actually.
Well, I feel bad for you because I know you're a good-hearted guy, and no matter what has transpired, I say things that I wish I could take back all the time. Whether you were right or whether you're wrong on what you said, you know, we all have things we wish we could say and take back and ask for forgiveness. But having said that, you're still the baby's daddy. You want to get involved in his life. Right. You want to be involved in the name of the kid and the upbringing of the child.
Right.
And have the financial conversation, all that good stuff. So I really do sincerely hope you work it out. I'm very good at intervening in those things, by the way.
You never know. It might come to that. Right now, though, I'm just, as I said, just giving her a space because she's going through a lot right now. I mean, her body is quite literally changing, and she's got a human inside her, you know, so... Just trying to be as peaceful as possible and give her what she wants, which is space. Leave her be, and who knows, you know, in a couple months I'll get a text and just be like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm now a dad. So there you go.
Oh, boy.
You know?
All right, well, that's the baby Limey update. Frank asked you about it every once in a while, but, you know, I'd ask you about it. I'd ask you about it weekly.
Hey,
all right, Scott, any Burke segment?
I got a short version of the Burke segment. Right. I know you're not supposed to do history on the Burke segment, right?
You can do whatever you want. It's your segment. It's your Burke segment.
You guys are going first. Are you gonna meet up with Frank in Holland? You're going to Amsterdam?
No, we're going to we're flying into Amsterdam, and actually we're going straight from the airport to the ship.
To the boat. Great.
Yeah. What?
Apparently. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
What? I know.
I'd like to
go walking through the red light district.
Well,
and
that's
see
why.
What that
that's
looks
why they
like.
Went a couple days before, bud.
No, that's not what the itinerary says. The itinerary says you spend one night and then the next day you tour around
Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, that was for the for the people who have already gone.
Well, no, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it is.
I was just reading it today. Boy, that's...
Well, when you get on the boat, whether it's when you first get off or you get there the next day, when you go up and down the Rhine River, you are going to pass under two of the most important, significant bridges in World War II.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Arnhem Bridge, which was the site of the Operation Market Garden battle, where the British went in early and it didn't work out. That bridge is the first one you'll pass under. That's in Arnhem. In Holland, which is between the Netherlands and Germany. And then as you get further down, you're going to get through the Remagen Bridge. Both of that, and that was an important bridge because the Germans tried to blow it up. It didn't blow up for a week, and the Americans, we got our troops in there and helped end the war quicker. So you will not have to leave the boat to experience two of the most important war battles and the two most important bridges, not only on the Rhine River, but in the entire war. And I was telling Frank about this ad nauseum, and I said, hey, you got to watch these two movies. One is A Bridge Too Far, which is about the Operation Market Garden, and the other is about the bridge at Remagen. Well, Sunday on Dishnet, which I have and Frank has, and we don't have hardly any movie channels, both at 9 o'clock in the morning, I had no idea, Bridge Too Far was on, and on the same channel 4 hours later, Bridget Remagen was on. So I don't know if Frank saw them. I don't know if you guys have seen them, but don't miss this stuff as you go under it.
I listen to what you said, and I'm still fuzzy. Why are they important bridges?
Because the Rhine River was the backup for the Germans to go back into the heart of Germany. If these bridges had either the Remagen Bridge or the bridge at Arnhem had been taken, the war would have ended 3 months sooner. We would have gotten across that bridge and into the heart of Germany. Had the Remagen Bridge been blown up, it was the only standing bridge on the Rhine River in Germany for like 100 miles. It would have delayed the end of the war, and the Germans might have been able to hold off longer, and then the war wouldn't have ended sooner. And they blew it up with explosives, except it didn't fall. So they loaded it up with all these explosives. They lit the candle. The whole bridge blew, but it didn't fall for like a week. And the Americans were allowed to get an entire companies and armies of tanks and other
soldiers across the bridge without having to build their own pontoon bridge.
Right.
Two hugely important sites of battles in World War II. One at Arnhem, which didn't work, and then one at Remagen, which did. And you don't have to go on a sightseeing tour. All you got to do is look up and look around, and you will see and live history. It's really, really cool that on the Rhine River you will experience both of those things. And if you haven't, you can flip around and look and not see the movie, certainly see clips of it. And two great war movies. This is one where they had, you know, every cast member you could possibly imagine, especially Bridge Too Far. It had Michael Caine and James Caan and Sean Connery and Ryan O'Neal, and just about every 70s big-time star was in that movie, and it's a great movie.
So here's the answer to, by the way, Dan, the answer to your question is, I'm reading this, and you are right. You fly into Amsterdam, and they take you with the motor coach transfer right to the ship boarding site, but the ship ports in Amsterdam that night, so you can you can have dinner and then go like back out, hopefully go back out onto the town
and see
some of the sites, because they're doing a tour of Amsterdam the next morning. So hopefully we'll be able to have dinner, unpack our stuff, and then, you know,
go to the red light district.
Go find the Uber.
Yeah.
And get on to that. Now, Scott, I'm actually glad you brought this up, because I liked history in school. I was good at it. I hated science. I hated the foreign language, but I liked history. Like, man, I'm not what I would call a history buff. The only concern, and I've discussed this with my family, the only concern, and this will probably come off as you've got to be kidding me, you're so fortunate to be going. My only concern on going on this trip is that I'll be bored. And I've told friends of mine that have gone to Germany and spent time there, and other friends of mine and parents and people that are uncles and aunts that have been older. I'm like, you know what? I love going down. I think they're going down the river's fine. Going down the river for 8 days and seeing church after church and castle after castle and maybe I'm just way off my rocker, but it's been kind of a rain cloud hanging over my head. Before we go on this thing. All right, let's hear it.
All right. I used to, like, you know, live in Europe, so plenty of castles around there. And my dad would probably kill me for saying this. But you're right. You know, Europe's boring. There are lots of mountains, lots of weird cultures. But what is going to keep you excited and into it is the fact that these are completely different cultures you are sailing through. So you're going to see some nice landscape, you know, when you sit up on the top deck, have yourself a nice little cognac or whatever, smoke a cigar, because I know you're going to be doing that.
Ooh.
Like, you are going to really appreciate the views, because it is quite diverse and it is very beautiful. Now, the people, they're kind of stuck up. There's lots of art there. There's lots of history. That's kind of fun. Rah, 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 rah. I would say when you get time, go into the towns, because you're somebody who likes to, you know, investigate people and, like, you know, just kind of learn new things. Just go in there, find yourself a nice cafe, maybe just sit down and people watch for about an hour. Mm-hmm. It is a completely different world out there, and all the different countries you're going to, those are all different cultures. Like, yeah, the continent is Europe, but there isn't a European culture.
The language barrier isn't a concern of mine. It's my understanding a lot of people speak language. Scott, if you were going on this trip, what would excite you the most? Get me excited. Because I'm excited to travel.
Here's what I would be. I would be excited. If they stopped at Arnhem, I would get off of that boat and go to the Dutch side of the river, and I would go into some of those buildings and see exactly where that battle was going on, because to me, without winning that war, there is no Europe that anybody would want to visit ever. And then as you get down into the heart of Germany, and you get, it's like the Ruhr Valley or something, when you're slicing through Germany and you get to Remagen, both sides of that bridge are German, but the sort of, I don't know, the one you think about where it's got the Glockenspiel and those clocks and all that, you know, Lederhosen. That stuff I'd want to see too, because that culture that's now really something that's accessible to Americans and was before World War II, because tons of people, including a lot of Missourians, are German. I'd like to see their culture and experience that, because I understand that Germany today is much more accessible than Germany's ever been, and I'd like to meet some of those people.
When I went to Washington, D.C. as a teenager, I went to the Smithsonian Museum, and I went into two of them for like an hour and a half each. You can't, you know, go through that. I mean, they're all day-long building. The one I went into, and it disturbed me at the time, but was the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
And you know, so, and that was the thing, you know, because I'm American. I don't know a lot about Germany. They got good soccer. I know the Holocaust took their place there. Or Hitler, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Germany.
That's pretty much Germany.
Hitler, soccer, and beer. You got the 20th century of Germany.
Soccer and war is pretty much what I know about Germany. But, you know, we're stopping in Cologne. We're stopping in Kochum. We're stopping in Koblenz and Rüdesheim. Hope I'm saying all this right. Mannheim, Spire. That's actually one thing I would like to see, and I know they give tours of those.
And that part of Germany, that Ruhr Valley, that some of those that goes where the Rhine goes to the eastern part of that, the Ruhr Valley. That's a very industrialized part of Germany, very westernized, and very important to world economy. And it's cool to see how they've really developed that too. But
I'm like willing to take an Uber and say, okay, you guys go see another castle. I want to go see this. I don't know if we'll be allowed to do that kind of thing in our I'll have time to do it, but that's actually something that would interest me.
Aren't you spending a couple of days in each port?
I don't know.
No, it's pretty much one day in each port.
One day per port.
If you've got a day, you'll be fine. You're a grown man. Just like, hey, I'm going to go check this out. And
right.
On you go.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that Mannheim is the home of all of those steamrollers, that they use for the...
Gotcha.
But the people that I know that travel through
construction,
they really fall in love with German people. That they're very warm, very kind, and
I'm German.
Helpful.
See? You know what? You know what you need to get when you're in Cologne? Aftershave.
Aftershave.
It's the other thing that bothers me. We're going to be in Germany, you know, for all these days, and they don't drink beer in that country. It's like, you know,
they drink warm beer.
How does anybody?
The beer is warm.
What is that?
I don't know.
Like, when did that rumor come from of warm beer?
They do. They like the true Germans. I think like
ales
warm beer
and some drinks. I think that's just a stereotype from back in the day when they didn't have.
Is most of
chilling.
It cold?
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, you go over there now, they've got all those taps where it tells you the temperature on there, like, you know, 31 degrees and all that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no, you're going to go over there, you're going to get a nice chilled drink. I say, honestly, if you're going over there, try out the food. That is, try out the alcohol, try out the food, try out the desserts, the pastries. I mean, you're going through Germany, that's like the land of chocolate.
And these two bridges will break it up the whole trip. You'll be looking forward to the Arnhem Bridge. Then you'll be looking forward to the Remagen Bridge and everything in between. So don't look at it as one long, boring trip down the Rhine.
And then we'll play bridge on the top deck.
Look at it
as
three boring trips from underneath these bridges.
So, Dan, now that he's not here, and that's what we do on this show is we talk about people when they're not here.
Yes.
What's it like to hang with Frank for 8 straight days?
It's hell.
Please elaborate, because that's also been kind of a...
No, it's not.
You know, I spend 3 hours a day with the guy 4 days a week, and now I'm about to spend 8 full days with the guy, 10 full days with the guy and his wife, and, you know, and the listener. Well, and the listener would be fine, but, you know, Frank's a unique guy, and I'm just wondering, you know, I get him in little appetizer doses. What's it like, you know, to have him in, you know,
seven-course meal
doses?
He's very... unassuming.
See, you know, the thing about him
just is... just kind of sitting around and relaxing.
He always acts like he doesn't like going out in public and doesn't like doing speaking engagements. He doesn't want to do this show on remote. You know, he doesn't like being around people and all this other thing. And I'm like, I've never seen somebody with that kind of personality that is like that. And then we go to this thing at the restaurant where all the people show up, and this guy's like walking the room like a New York Broadway stand-up comedian.
He's hosting
and holding court, and he's flirting with everybody in the whole bit. I'm like, how could this possibly be the same person who thinks that?
It's all in his head.
I don't get that.
He actually scares himself more into being stage fright, having stage fright and everything else, and being in front of people than what actually happens. Because once he gets up in front of a crowd, he owns that room.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our listeners. So Frank will just sit around and he'll go and talk to people, or people will come and sit down and talk to him. And that's pretty much it. It's pretty laid back on these trips.
Yeah.
So
especially after 4 days in Amsterdam.
Yeah, right.
Hell yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, he'll really be laid back when we get there. A lot of them will. From what I hear, because...
Hey, there it is.
Like the morning. From what I hear, because there was a bunch of them that said, I've never smoked or tried anything like that.
Right.
And they said, well, let's go to some cafes. So I think they're going to go to some cafes. And I told them, I said, you know, Even if you've never tried it, the stuff when we were growing up is way different now.
Way
different now.
Way.
And I would do it in very small doses and just kind of ease your way into it.
Practice on ditchweed.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Okay, first of all,
ditchweed.
Don't take Dan's advice. Jump in at the deep end. You're going to be safe and sound in Amsterdam. You're going to be surrounded by friends and people that know you. Go to a cafe, get some brownies, go to town, and then just, you know, have a relaxing cruise.
Then get on a boat, hallucinate, and drown.
You don't hallucinate from weed. My God.
Dan, I was thinking about this. You know how in hockey they give nicknames to lines?
Yes.
You know, like a certain line? Well, I was thinking, since Missouri is about to legalize marijuana at the turn of the year.
Oh, Illinois. Illinois?
No, I mean Missouri, the state you're in, Einstein.
Okay.
I'm going to call you Einstein the whole trip.
Is it medical or
are you kidding me?
Labradoodle.
Oh, my goodness. The state of Missouri has legalized medical marijuana, and you're going to be able to buy it after January 1st. Illinois just approved recreational either today or yesterday.
Yeah.
My point is that in hockey, you know, they have nicknames for lines, and if Tarasenko next year plays with O'Reilly and Perron, leading up to January 1st, you call that the top line because it's T-O-P. But then after January 1st, you refer to Perron first, they can flip it to the pot line. we could have the first pot line in the history of the NHL if Perron plays with O'Reilly and Tarasenko next year.
We could.
Last year they win the cup, next year they win the bowl.
Oh, give them that one. That was good.
Too busy laughing.
Be the first team to smoke out of the Stanley Cup.
Hello, everybody.
Not the first. Mark Messier had that thing for 4 years. They took it to a strip club. It got damaged. He had to take it to his buddy that owned an auto detailing shop to fix it. Two years in a row. Here you go. Hey.
2 years in a row.
Wow.
Hey, we got a big dent in our cup there.
Dan Buff is going to be here in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm going to do his segment a little different. I'm going to have a little movie line trivia for all of us to participate in. I got some lines here to kind of break up the monotony of just movie after movie after movie. So Dan will do a movie, and then I'll do a line from a movie and see if you guys can guess which line it is. And we'll have a little fun with that as we go along. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I watch a lot of movies.
I got 7 of them.
Yeah.
7 of them to go on. Now, Scott Sherman is an attorney, as you all know. He's in the studio on Thursdays in the 4 o'clock hour answering your legal questions. And when I invited him to come on today, I said, Scott, let's just drop the gauntlet and let's just roll up the sleeves. And I want to hear one nasty war story of you being a lawyer.
Oh, boy.
And Scott said he would come in guns a-blazing. And you don't have to name names or anything. But, you know, I talk about PI stories without naming names. I want to hear a nasty Scott Sherman, I've been a lawyer, and you won't believe this happened. This is how nasty this thing got story, and you got 6.5 minutes.
All right, so I'm going to tell the story because the person is dead.
Oh, good.
So no one's feelings will get hurt.
Yay!
So I had a client of mine, and he was a really great guy, and sadly, he did succumb to his drug addiction. But before that, I went to take the garbage out one morning, and he and his girlfriend were sleeping on my patio in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that freaked me out a little bit because I wasn't sure exactly who it was for about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about the patio because he had built the patio for me in exchange for some money that he owed me.
All right.
And the reason that he knew how to get to my house is that my house is about 3 blocks from the jail. So this was his opportunity after he and his girlfriend were released from jail to find some shelter, and it was the patio that he had built with his bare hands, and they were sleeping.
On the ground, like on the concrete?
Well, yeah, on the little ledge, like the little wall that he had built as part of the patio.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice patio, and I said to him, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, dude, I didn't know anywhere else to go. I'm like, okay, but now you're in my backyard. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I have to go to work. He's like, well, you know, we could like stay here for a while. And I'm like, no, you really can't. But why were you in jail? And he proceeded to tell me that he and the girlfriend had been arrested at his grandmother's house for allegedly making a meth lab in her basement.
Oh.
And it wasn't grandma that called, because grandma, they did it in her basement because A, it was her basement, and 2, she had no sense of smell. So it was actually the neighbors that called because they thought something was on fire and going to blow up, and it probably was. So when the police arrived at Grandma's house, she had no idea what was going on, and this gentleman and his girlfriend, who I don't think she was... Oh, yeah, she was pregnant at the time. They came with me. I said, wait right here. I got them two clean shirts. And I, at the time, had an office at the other radio station.
Mm.
And so I took them with me to my office at the other radio station. And I got there at about... I think it was 9 o'clock.
And then they went into management.
They were the sales department.
Oh my god!
They sold 3 remotes for the Inside Out. I can't say the name.
And the yard sale was born.
Oh god!
So as I was getting them, I guess situated, and my paralegal was in the same office. I heard over the intercom where they were doing the news, as we are going to do here at the top of the hour soon.
Yeah.
And in other local news, a blah, blah, blah couple has been arrested for allegedly making a meth lab in one of their grandparents' basement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the news, and I'm the guy that was the news director mm-hmm. at the time. So I went over to his news booth, and I said to him, and we can say who it was, right? It's Trevor.
Oh.
No, it was the Colin.
This
I get
Trevor? Colin.
Yeah, Colin.
Oh. Colin.
Not you.
Oh,
it was Colin, not you.
Yes.
Throw me under the bus?
Y'all look alike.
So he has no idea. Colin has no idea this is going on. And I said,
yeah.
About that story? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, which one? I go, you know, the meth lab story.
You want to meet the people?
I said, you want to come down and meet them? I did. And he goes, you're S-ing me. And I go, oh, you know I'm not. He goes, you're S-ing me. And I go, you know I'm not. He goes, yeah, I want to meet him. So come down the hallway, and I just pointed at them. And dude was completely asleep and drooling on my desk. And chick was picking her face or whatever people do. And he goes, you can't keep those people here. I said, that's my office. I can keep whoever I want here. I said, do me a favor. I'm not telling you how to do the news. But in the 10 o'clock hour, can you at least not make it the top story? I got to figure out a way to get them out of there. And so I eventually did figure out a way to get them out of there.
How?
I just walked them out the back door and dropped them off at her parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got 2 people accused of making a meth lab in a suburban grandmother's house. I represent grandma. I represent her. I represent him. And I just kind of decided, you know what? Maybe criminal law is not for me. And I think since then, I have declined most criminal cases. And unfortunately, this was a really sweet, nice guy. His name was Jeremy. And I really liked him a lot. He did wonderful work with the stonework. He was really kind. But drugs got him. And as funny a story as that is, whoever is out there that's struggling, there is help, there is hope, and no matter what bind you get yourself in, get somebody who can really get you some help, because I miss that guy, and it was a terrible thing that he did. Fortunately, Grandma's house didn't blow up, but I do miss him, and he also lost his sister to that same thing, and she was a really good friend of mine, so that's my story.
That's a good war story. In a minute and a half, I'm just going to ask you, have you ever had literally almost a knockdown drag out with another lawyer in a courtroom?
Yes.
Has that ever happened?
Yes.
How many times?
Twice.
Give me a brief one.
I was representing these ladies who were accused falsely of shoplifting, and the guy that was representing the department store was a smug, smarmy jerk who called me a liar. And because he had called them when they were represented and had left a message pretending that he didn't know they were represented.
Oh.
And I said, you SOB, I got the tape right here. And if I'm going to play it for the bailiff, and then I'm going to knock your ass out.
Oh.
Whoa.
What was his response to that?
What?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he kind of sort of wanted to go, but I was ready. We both backed down, but that absolutely did happen.
What was the second one?
It happened again with the same guy.
with the same guy?
No, it happened. Well, I'll tell you what, it was similar to that, and that's this. It was involved me being the jerk. I had a buddy of mine whose sales director was in mm-hmm. from Wisconsin and got a DWI, and it was in Creve Coeur.
Yeah.
And I was drunk too. And I took a cab up to the Creve Coeur jail and demanded to see the sergeant on duty and told him if he didn't let the guy out, I was going to call Don Wolf at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake him up and let him out. And that cop said, "You're so crazy, you might do it. You can take this a-hole and take him back to Wisconsin." And that's true, and that was my fault.
Abby Snobles along with the news at the top of the hour, and then Dan Buff is going to talk movies and TV along with Dan Strauss, Scott Sherman, Trevor Limey Phillips. I'm Tim Woodburn, sitting in for Frank Opinion today. You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on 590 The Fan.
Hello again, everybody. It's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump is expressing concern about poor conditions for unaccompanied migrant children at U.S. detention centers along the southern border. However, at the White House today, Trump said the facilities are in better shape than they were during the Obama administration. He's calling on House Democrats to pass a bill to deal with the situation. Meanwhile, Trump says he did not ask Acting Customs and Border Protection Chief John Sanders to step down, but he was aware a change was coming.
There was going to be a change there. I've made changes, very good changes. We're moving some people around into different locations.
Sanders leaves his post early next month, but he's not giving a reason for why he's stepping down. Army Staff Sergeant David Bellavia is being honored.